This is not a test. It is the future. Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
A lot of people are debating on what we just played, the Ashtar command signal, the Ashtar command hoax, if you will, the broadcast of a man who sounded like an alien, some strange flange thing that was there. Yeah, of course, the flanger technology was there, but there was no technology that was able to take out five transmitters and completely take out all of southern England and broadcast it on a television station. That is the question as to whether or not, was it really extraterrestrial? And everybody says, but it's a British accent. Well, yeah, okay, what were you expecting? They're talking English, right? That's the thing. I mean, I've got a broadcast, and I got it, a Spanish broadcast of aliens talking to Chilean fishermen. And the strangest part is that I have had, and I wish I would have played it, but I didn't have time. I don't have 3 hours of the show. Because I have a transmission with Chilean fishermen and aliens that claim to be aliens named Marte Uno. And he speaks in Spanish, but he speaks in such an old Spanish and with no dialect that I even had a linguistics person analyze it. And she told me that she couldn't believe it. She couldn't believe that she didn't hear an accent. And what you're hearing is you're hearing a British accent. You're hearing all these. But here's another thing, too. He talks about, Ashtar says, beware of people that are going to take your money away. Your leaders will take your money away, and then they will put it all into nuclear weapons, and they will kill you all. And that was years ago. Okay? That was years ago. And so, think about it. They've taken your money away, and they're talking about nukes, right? Go to Joshua in Gladstone. Hi, Joshua. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, how's it going, bud?
Good.
I totally heard what you said, and heard the transmission, and I think people are too quick to dismiss things, even if you might be a skeptic or a total 100% believer. It's kind of ignorant to think that we're the only people in the universe, I mean, considering how big the universe actually is.
Well, I'm not saying that I believe that it's an alien. Don't get me wrong,
right.
Okay? I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that, you know, I have all these know-it-alls telling me, oh, they could have done that in 1977. No, they can't. That's the whole point. The English, the guys, the authorities that ran the station said, how did they take out five of our transmitters without us knowing about it? Why didn't show up on the VU meters? Why is it that we went 6 minutes? I mean, yeah, you could probably hit a transmitter, knock it out in a small area, and you could probably do it for about 2 or 3 minutes, and then you're gone. But these guys did it for 6 minutes.
Yeah, no kidding. And not only that, but then they try to, you know, not really cover it up, but not really bring it out into the open because of the whole security factor. They're probably scared out of their minds, you know.
Yeah, well, they didn't hear it. They didn't even know. They didn't even know. They didn't even hear it. That's the strangest part. So that's the weirdest thing of all. That's why I wanted to play it and share it with you tonight, because it's one of the things that's always intrigued me, that no one brings this up. They'll say, well, it's obviously a hoax. Well, then, okay, let's talk about how they did it in 1977.
Yeah,
that's
well, interesting. They're just too quick to try and dismiss things and think they know all the answers, and they should just keep an open mind. And I just wanted to say thanks, man, for playing stuff that is for everybody and not just one mindset.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Have a good night, man.
You too. We're going to go to some calls in just a minute, but I want to point something out to you before we go to break. Okay, now everybody's asking, so why England? Why Britain? Okay, well, let's talk about something else. 1977 again, okay? Another signal sent out. Okay, picked up by SETI. This is not a hijacked signal. No one claiming hoaxes. No one making up hippy-dippy sayings about nuclear weapons and being green and money and all this other crap. This is known as the WOW signal. And it is also heard. It was also heard in 1977. The WOW signal was a strong, narrow-band radio signal. It was detected by Dr. Jerry R. Amon on August 15, 1977, while working on a SETI project at the Big Ear Radio Telescope of the Ohio State University. Now, people know where this signal came from. It came from an area known as the Serpens Cauda region near Scorpius and Sagittarius. And what I want you to do is I want you to turn up your radio so you can hear this signal. This signal floored Dr. Amon because it had both high and low, and it pushed and it pulsed and it frightened him. Give a listen. you go. That is supposed to be an alien signal from an area known as the Serpens Cauda region near Scorpius and Sagittarius, called the WOW signal. The WOW signal has not been able to be duplicated. However, it did come, and it did make its presence known in 1977. Let's go to Adam on 2. Adam, hi, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, I wanted to talk about that, the Great Britain broadcast a little bit.
Sure.
I don't know how they would be able to pick out 5 transmitters back then. And to be honest with you, I don't really know anything about the technology back then. However, you know, if it was an alien broadcast, mm-hmm. why would it only affect one radio station and then one small area of the world? Why would it just affect that one area? Why not?
Okay, did you just hear the broadcast they played?
I heard that one.
Okay. It happened in England. There was a signal that came down that claimed to be Ashtar, which I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know if Ashtar real is real. I don't know if Ashtar Command is real. I don't know if this guy is real. I don't know if it's an alien or not.
Mm-hmm.
What I do know is it took over 5 transmitters in southern England. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't know what was going on. And it pulsed into people's homes, in their radios, in their TVs. It pulsed everywhere. And then it just went away. And it went on for 6 minutes. And then this broadcast that I just played you, that sound that you just heard, was known as the WOW signal that happened in 1977 as well. And that hit the Big Ear telescope, the radio telescope at Ohio State University. And they don't know who it came from. They just know where it came from. And it came from an area known as the Serpens Cauda region of Scorpius and Sagittarius. It's Scorpius and Sagittarius. Between those two areas is where that signal came from.
Kind of sounds like a modem.
A modem, really?
Yeah, sort of.
I guess it could sound like a modem, but the thing was is that it had both that high signal and then it had that scraping signal,
mm-hmm.
which was remarkable for an alien signal or a signal that's extraterrestrial or what they call exocommunication. So what you're listening to is something that can be debated. The Ashtar signal can be debated as to whether or not it's human beings tinkering, which very well could have been. The question is, how was it done?
I think it was. Okay. Right, right.
So the question is, how was it done? Because they didn't have the technology back then. And, you know, while the technology was in development, they didn't have the type of things we have now to jam signals. And see, the speculation about the Ashtar signal was that someone did it from within the studios, mm-hmm. within the station, and they haven't been able to figure out where it came from. So that is the logical explanation of Ashtar.
Right, right, and that pulsing noise that you mentioned, it sounds an awful lot like the you used to watch the original Star Trek,
mm-hmm.
You know their medical beds, how it makes like that pulsing noise. It sounds just like that.
Yeah,
and it also sounds like some of the stuff you hear on like the movie Forbidden Planet. I don't know if you ever watched that. It's like mm-hmm. an old I think it's early 60s,
yeah.
maybe late 50s movie. It's got.
Right.
Who's that guy from The Naked Gun, that older guy?
Yeah.
Leslie Nielsen.
Leslie Nielsen.
That.
Yeah, yeah, Leslie Nielsen was a serious cowboy actor and science fiction actor back in the day before
exactly,
he started
yeah,
doing that
totally.
Stuff. Before he worked
yeah,
with O.J.
He had a pretty serious role before The Naked Gun.
Yeah, before he worked with O.J. He influenced O.J.,
yeah.
right? Thank you for the call, man.
Yeah, later.
Let's go to John now in Oregon City. John, hi, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about that Ashtar signal thing.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I understand that the technology wasn't available, and I do like the Taz made that comment that they thought it might have been an inside job.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of that definitely answered a few questions of mine. But I fully believe aliens exist because of the plain simple fact that this universe is too big for us not to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Not to exist.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very happy that you did play the SETI signal because I've actually heard that signal before.
What do you think of that signal? What do you think of that? I mean, it's like that was a signal. Now, most people will say, well, I'm not all that impressed with that. It just sounds like a bunch of beeps and hums and whatsappers. But, you know, the doctor that saw the signal was blown away. He's like, oh, wow, we got a signal. And it was almost, remember on Independence Day where they got on and said, hey, listen to this. We got it. It was almost like that. When I heard it the first time, it sounded a lot like that signal where you're hearing the scraping and the high-pitched noise. And I think it was almost similar to that.
Yeah, and what that could have, what that it actually reminded me of was a the fact that it could be a, that, one, the Independence Day thing, and two, it's a, it sounded like a, maybe it's a type of tight beam, so that it was designed to basically just catch our attention.
Mm-hmm.
And which means either, one, it was a signal they sent, they could have sent, like, it was a precursor, and there could be another one coming.
Oh, you're just thinking well, aren't you? You're just thinking right ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I got something I'm going to tell you that's going to blow you away about the precursor thing that you just brought up.
Because you have to think about is where, however far away this thing is, the signal is going to, one, it's going to be affected by, even though radio waves are, they're still particles, they're affected by gravity.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's a tight beam,
mm-hmm.
it's still going to be manipulated. So the signal's probably distorted for one. So it probably has a lot more in it than we could actually hear, because it's taking it so long, it's degraded. And then, even if it's a tight beam, we can't figure out exactly where it came from. Can't track its source specifically. But what we can track is its general point of origin. And if we keep looking at that exact same spot, which I'm sure our government is,
mm-hmm.
and has been for many years, we've probably even already picked up other signals from that area that just have not been publicized.
I just got a message in the chat room tonight that says, good Lord! You know, it says here, good Lord, you think that 1977 was some sort of stone age when it comes to electronics and the capabilities in that time. We had vinyl records back then! 1977 vinyl records. There were no CDs back then. There were no computers, home computers back then. There was no internet back then. There were no microwave link-ups back then. There were no freaking cell phones back then. Yes, it was the freaking Stone Age compared to what we're at now. So yes, it was the freaking Stone Age. Jesus, I don't get it. It was the Stone Age. Man, we have leaped a lot. That's 30 years, man. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Jeez. Thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, everybody's like saying, you could have done... No, man. People forget. People forget that 31 years ago was pretty long time for technology to change. So whatever happened back in 1977 with the WOW signal, or whatever happened with the ASTAR command signal, these things are... This is like something that, you know, back then... It was indistinguishable from magic. Don't you? Arthur Clarke said that. He said technologies that we're unaware of are hard to distinguish between that and magic. So back then, that was magic. Now people are saying, it could have been done. Of course it could have been done now. Back then, don't know. That's why aliens, man, they're going to have to do something if they're going to come down here to prove they're aliens. Because, I mean, we're going to be like going, yeah, well, we saw that in Trekkies. You know, I saw that done in 2012, man, that movie. You know, it's a predictive program. We're so used to seeing this stuff that we forget that maybe the paranormal, maybe aliens are just as mundane as everything else. There's even a story that I read a long time ago where some alien, with some farmer, it's one of those things where, you know, this farmer's out there and he's taking care of his farm, and this alien comes down and says, hi, I want to make pancakes with you. And so he sits down and he eats pancakes with the alien. You think if he was saying, that's not real. Why did they probe him? It's because he just had pancakes with an alien. Okay? Just happens. Let's go to Kyle now. Kyle, hi, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey.
Hey, man.
Hey, I thought it sounded pretty intelligent, and, you know, for 1977, it sounded pretty futuristic, too.
Yeah, it did. I mean, you know, it's like... you know, Star Trek was pretty interesting, and 2001 was pretty interesting when we saw it in the movies, and the moon landing was pretty interesting when it happened in 1969. But, hey, that's the military, you know? And who knows, maybe the military did do the ASTAR command thing.
Well, you know, ASTAR did say something about the human race destroying itself, which made it sound like, yeah, it's from the future, you know?
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, there were broadcasts and stuff in the background, which, you know, I kind of would have expected to see... You know, if there was something futuristic like that, maybe some futuristic songs or something like that. You know, I mean, Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah.
He had studio processors to make stuff like that. So did Pink Floyd, and they were right around that time, maybe before.
Yeah, Set Controls for the Heart of the Sun. That's a great song, isn't it?
Sure, man, yeah.
And say, speaking of Pink Floyd, I was going to bring up something. It's funny, you're into my head, okay? Remember the Dark Side of the Rainbow thing? Do you remember the Dark Side of the Rainbow thing where you can take the Wizard of Oz and synchronize it to Dark Side of the Moon?
Oh, yeah, that's cool, yeah.
Yeah, okay, think about this.
everybody who said it happened said that Pink Floyd was able to do that because they were watching the video one day and they decided to do it. Well, guess what? Dark Side of the Rainbow came out when there were no videos. So how the hell did they do that?
Well, it's cool to put, like, any music with energy behind, you know, fast-moving cars and stuff like that. It just makes the stuff come alive, you know?
See, people have all the answers now because we live in the time of all the answers, but we forget that back in the 1970s and the 1960s, hell, in the 1930s when Orson Welles said, we are being invaded by aliens, people freak out because they're able to convince them of it. Well, Ashtar freaked out people in England, and I'm still trying to figure out how it was done. And it was, what could be done today? Well, it wasn't done back then like it was now.
It's still interesting. It still sounds cool today. So, you know, I mean, maybe it was with, you know, some futuristic thought in mind.
Yeah, and plus we had that signal that went down, that big wow signal that blew everybody away. So there you go. The aliens wanted to talk to us back in the days of Spielberg and Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah, who knows?
Fantastic, man. Thanks for the call. Take care, buddy. Let's go to Zach right now. Hi, Zach, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Well, just to start off about the Ashtar Command thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, like people were saying earlier in the chat room that why England and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, if you kind of relate that, I think the District 9, like how the thing kind of plopped in Johannesburg, like of all places.
Yeah, why Johannesburg? Why anywhere? You know, and that's the thing. And here's something about aliens, too. Why America? Why do we have to have them land on the White House lawn? What if they're communicating with Indians? Did you know that Belgium 3 weeks ago claimed that they're talking with aliens now, that they're communicating with, not Belgium, was it Belgium? Oh, no, Bulgaria. There you go. Bulgaria claims, and you can look this up on the internet, type in your Google, Bulgaria contacting aliens. They say that they've been in communication with aliens now for about a month and a half.
Any communication with them?
Yeah, they're That's communicating with them. And the Catholic Church recently said, hey, we have every reason to know that aliens exist, so get ready, we're going to find them, and when we do, they're part of God's plan. The Catholic Church said this. Jesuit priest, his name's Funes, look it up, type it in your little Google, Funes, Jesuit priest, astronomer, Vatican, aliens. You will find out that the Catholic Church has come on the record and said, yes, aliens exist. And, you know, they used to burn people at the stake for saying this. This is the biggest story ever, and yet people are so damn worried about global warming and whether or not Obama is, you know, whether or not Obama's in Hawaii and goofing off. Whether or not some guy putting a bomb in his underwear is important news when the Catholic Church says that aliens are real.
Maybe they're just preempting for if aliens do come. Like, hey, we confirmed it.
Exactly, man. Exactly. I appreciate your call.
Actually, one more thing.
Sure, go ahead.
About the wow signal.
Yes.
Does this sound a little bit like Morse code at all, or am I just hearing things?
It could. I don't know. We'd have to listen to it again to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate the call, man.
Oh, no problem.
All right, let's go to Yolanda quickly, and then we'll go to break. Yolanda, hi. You're on Ground Zero.
About the whole alien thing.
Turn down your radio a bit. Will you turn down your radio for me, please? Turn down the radio. Okay, go ahead.
Like, where are you getting your resources from?
Where am I getting my resources from?
Yeah. Like, I was just wondering.
Well, what are you talking about? Which resource and what about?
Like, did you find out, like, in about 1977 and everything?
Just type in Ashtar Command, Vrillin. ITN, which is the network where it happened in southern England. In 1977, it happened. And that was the real broadcast. I played the whole broadcast unedited.
Yeah, it was kind of a bit weird.
It was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah.
See, they don't talk about stuff like this, but I do because I'm a weirdo and I like stuff like this.
Yeah. That's cool.
Okay, Yolanda, thanks for the call. Bye-bye. Yeah, you play stuff like this and it freaks people out. Everybody has all the answers, don't they? Well, you can't. You know why? Because you can't always keep your mind in the box. You have to step out for a minute and get some air. And you have to realize that there's a lot of infinite possibilities out there. If you keep your mind in a finite place, you're going to be joyless for the rest of your life. Open your mind, and hey, the world is a lot of fun. I'm Clyde Lewis. 1-800-344-KUFO, 1-800-344-KUFO. This has only begun. We'll be back.